السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله، والله يعلم إنك لرسوله، والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and now we have many of them listening over the receivers. So those who are receiving us over the receivers. But as far as the men are concerned, they should try to make it to the masjid. That is a convenience for our women folk, that they do not have to come to the madrasa, they can sit at home and listen. But if we are told that there's a fire at a distance, the person is feeling very cold and he can see the fire, but the heat of that fire will give him no warmth unless he goes close to that fire. In the same way, if a person on a hot sunny day, if he's standing half a mile away from here, and from there he can see that the masjid, that there are air conditioners, and he knows also that the air conditioners are on at a certain time. But if he's going to stand there, he's not going to feel the coolness of those air conditioners. He will have to come into the masjid to get the coolness of those air conditioners. This is the tartib that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was his majlis, the people that were sitting around, those who were close to him, that when they heard from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, through the Mubarak tongue of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the words were flowing, then it was also the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's majlis, and that noor that was in his words, which were going directly through the ears into the hearts, if they were there as mukhlis people, as sincere people. So as far as possible, whenever there is a majlis of talim or deen, then we should be present there at that majlis, and don't say that we can sit at home and listen over the receiver. Then at home what is going to happen is the person will have his legs outstretched, and sometimes they even got a cigarette in their mouths and listening to the Quran Sharif recitation on the over the radio station. I have seen it personally. We went to visit one person and the radio was on, the Quran Sharif recitation was taking place, the person has got his legs stretched and he's got a cigarette in his mouth. Sometimes the person has got a newspaper in his hand. He's reading the newspaper also and has got half his attention at the radio. Some program is carrying on there. Now, is this the adab of listening to Quran and Hadith? That is the reason why we can't seem to find any difference in our lives. And coincidental that this is what I'm discussing now. And that is nifaq and hypocrisy, which I've discussed many times. But in recent times, no one has discussed it as much as Hazrat Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh. He placed the cards before everyone, that this is nifaq, this is hypocrisy, and that is the reason why we cannot seem to be getting anywhere. One is a sin. One is masiyat or a sin. Now that, there are different stages, but a person committed a sin once, and after he committed the sin, then he was very, very disturbed. He made plenty of tawbah, istighfar, he was ashamed. And he had no intention of returning to that sin, and he did not return to that sin. So that we will say is masiyat. After that comes a second category, which we term as fisq, that the person commits a sin, he is ashamed, in his heart he knows that what he has done is wrong, he makes some tawbah istighfar over it, but he continues doing it. That same sin, he continues committing that sin. That means he does not give it up after that tawbah. But he keeps on making tawbah, he keeps on expressing regret and remorse, and unhappiness over that sin, but he has not as yet given it up, and he goes on, then we will say that this person is a fasiq, that he is just continuously committing that sin, although he is ashamed too and he considers it as a sin too. Then comes the third degree, and that is nifaq. That is the very dangerous area, where the person commits a sin, he makes tawbah istighfar, he commits a sin, makes tawbah istighfar, then he gets into the habit of the sin, and after a period of time he begins to enjoy that sin. Now he expresses some kind of happiness, or inside his heart he finds enjoyment and pleasure in that sin. So when nobody is watching, then he enjoys himself. It is no more a question of accidental sins. Now the person is taking enjoyment and pleasure in those sins. And then he reaches a stage where that sin does not remain sin anymore in his sight. Now that is nifaq. That is that hypocrisy, that the person is outwardly saying that he is a Muslim, he is a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but now he has reached that stage where sins have become enjoyable. Sins have become an entertainment and pleasure for him. And this is where most of us are at present. That if we have to look at our lives, most of the sins that we are indulging in, it has become our pastime, it has become our pleasure of life, it has become our entertainment of life. It is no more considered as something serious in our lives. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that in our time, now he was talking about his time, and he lived very long. So he says, in my time, he's talking about his time, he says, we commit some time, or we do certain things, which is not even a sin. It is minor. It's not even a sin. But we consider it to be very, very serious matter. And he says, the time, and the time will, no, he says, in the time of the Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are certain things which you are doing now. He tells those people of his time, he says, there are certain things which you are doing now, which in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we considered it to be a major sin, like, as if it was a very serious matter. And when you are doing it, you consider it as finer than the hair, like a strand of hair, how fine and thin it is, then nothing, of no weight. That means you commit the sin and you do not even consider it to be a weighty sin. Now he was talking about his time. Now imagine in our time. So if you look at our time, then the majority, we don't talk about exceptions. Exceptions you always get. A few here, a few there. But we're talking about the majority. Go to the majority of Muslim homes, Muslim businesses, Muslim nikahs, Muslim walimas, and Muslim other programs. And then we will find that the majority, so many sins are no more sin in their sight. How many of them really consider intermingling freely in the weddings and walimas and entertaining in a haram manner as really something very, very serious? Photography, music, all these type of things, it has become like a norm. And if somebody has to say something regarding that, then that person is outdated, it's backward, is orthodox, and we don't know how many titles he gets. Then if you look at within the homes, the television, the videos, the movies, there are so many things there which the person does not consider a sin anymore. In fact, there are so many who are scholars of Islam. They are learned people. They've got ilm, they've got knowledge. But they too will talk about those programs sometime in company or in society as if it was something very, very, it was something permissible or something that was correct which they had done. Something that was not serious at all. It was no sin at all. Whereas, what they are relating is nothing but sin. Because in which program on the TV, besides there may be some exception, but in which program there is no women or woman announcer there, or female singer there, or female reader there. Now these people who are watching all that, do they lower their gaze at that time? They put it on and they lower their gaze when those announcers come. Now they stare at those faces, and so many other things come by the way, music, then there's haram advertisement. Now which person every second worries about that the moment some advertisement is coming I must switch it off. Now there are so many things like that. And many times I have mentioned that it is not the box that is haram. Nobody can say the box is haram. But when 80% to 90% of the content of that is nothing but haram for a Muslim to watch, then those who justify it, those who legalize it, or those who say that it is permissible, there is nothing wrong with it, so don't they fall in the same category of munafiqs? That now they have justified something that was haram. Yes, if they said, it's a weakness of ours, it's a weakness of mine, I'm trying to give up sins, but this is a weakness and I can't seem to give it up straight away, but definitely it is wrong, then there is hope that this person will one day give up that sin. But the person who justifies a haram, justifies something that is wrong, then when will he make tawbah from it? He's not going to make tawbah from that. So this is what we mean, that the person has now reached that stage of nifaq and hypocrisy, where the zahir is something and the batin is something. So that is one category of nifaq, which is very, very common in these days. But what I am discussing now is nifaq and hypocrisy which is in our lives, and which is causing havoc in our family life, in our society, and everywhere else. And that is where we have something within and we project something outside. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has discussed three categories, that there will be, Allah ta'ala has discussed the categories which we term as the category of believers. And then Allah ta'ala talks about khatam Allahu ala qulubihim, and all, he talks about the kuffar, the category of disbelievers. And then from وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولَ, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqs. So these three that Allah ta'ala discusses in the Quran Sharif, it was not only for the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all times these categories will remain. In fact, even if we have to look at the friendship of people with us, we will find these three categories. That either we will find those people who are open enemies, they will declare it, and they will say, I don't like that person, I hate him, and if I can bash him, I will bash him. But they will be open enemies. There will be others who will be true and sincere friends. That they will say that we love you and we got time for you in our heart we have the space for you and everything, they will talk and they mean it. Allah Ta'ala has put the love into their hearts and they are sincere and true about that love which they talk about. So that is the second category. And the third category will be there who will meet you very, very with a smile, very cheerfully, and they will also outwardly project a kind of muhabbat and love and affection and concern about the person's welfare. But at heart, there's nothing but hasad. That jealousy is burning that heart to such an extent that this person will come and meet, he will sit even in majlises sometime, he will even carry that person's bags. Our buzrugs, all of them, majority of them, who were imprisoned by the British government, who were those people that were the spies and reported them? They were those who were the khadims. They came in the form of khadims. Hazrat will carry your bag, Hazrat will do this, Hazrat will do that. But in the meantime, they were reporting all the time. They were the ones who got Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi arrested. They were the ones that got Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi arrested. They were the ones who got Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi arrested. And in recent time, Maulana Saeed Khan Sahab, now he's Rahmatullah Alayhi. The person who reported him to the Saudi government and got him arrested, it was no one but who was very close to him, outwardly. So that is what we term as munafiqs. Now what will be their condition in the akhirat? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif. But in this world, we take lessons from all these things. That you do not trust a person just because the person is projecting love and muhabbat. It is very, very difficult in these days to really know whether this person has got love in his heart or not. We don't have that basirat, we cannot see. But those who are Ahlullah, they can see through. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them that insight. And they have chased away from the majlis so many people, knowing that this person has got nothing but nifaq and hypocrisy. So this is something that is very common, and it is because of this that many of our ulama and many of our mujahideen and many of our muballighin and others are being arrested even today in Pakistan, in Algeria, in Tunisia, in Saudi Arabia, and in all other parts of the world. It is because of these munafiqeen that these people are being arrested and then persecuted and tortured. But you will find them in what? In the garb of the pious. You will find them in the garb of the pious. And then that brings me now to this malfooz of Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, in which he says that aajkal logo ne deen ko sirf zahir mein munhasir kar liya hai, libas o surat zahiri deendaro ki tarah bana liya, kuch zahiri ibadat namaz roza wagaira kar liya aur samjhe ke hum kamil deendar ho gaye, halanki unka batin bilkul fusaq jaisa, fasiq o jaise akhlaq, fasiq o jaise muamlat, unhi jaisi gandi muasharat aur phir deendar ke deendar. باطن کی اصلاح کی طرف آج کل لوگوں کو متوجہ کرنا مشکل ہے. پہلے تو آدمی یہ کوشش کرتا ہے کہ مسئلے پر ہمارا باطن ظاہر ہی نہ ہو, اور اگر اس نے اپنی فراست سے ان کے باطن کو سمجھ لیا تو اول اس کا اقرار نہیں کرتا بلکہ نفس اس سے گریز کرتا ہے, اور جب دلائل اور واقعات سے اور ایسے اقوال و افعال سے جو وقتاً فوقتاً اس شخص سے صادر ہوئے ہیں کوئی ثابت کرتا ہے کہ تمہارا باطن ایسا ہی ہے جیسا تشخیص کیا گیا, اس وقت جا کر کہیں وہ اصلاح کی طرف متوجہ ہوتے ہیں. This is the thing that people are not concerned today one bit about the islah of the batin. Nothing. As far as batin is concerned, it is not even in our dictionary. In the dictionary of the majority, there is no such thing as batin. At the most, we will ask the masail of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, fasting. These are the masail that we ask. Or some maslas of halal and haram. But how many people will go to some Shaykh-e-Kamil and say that I want to make islah of my batin, I've got diseases of the heart, spiritual diseases, I've got jealousy, I've got malice, I've got greed, I've got pride, I've got arrogance. How many of them will really be concerned about the islah of the batin? So he says we have made our zahir right. Many of us have made our zahir right, our libas, our dressing, our beard. These things show that the person is dindar. He said, but in reality, the person's akhlaq, his muamlat, his dealings, his etiquette, his moral life, his spiritual life, if you have to look at it, there's nothing there but hypocrisy, and there is nothing there but fisq and fujur. All the traits of the munafiq. Now, these majlises are for islah, and when I'm saying these things, I'm thinking of myself, and you should think of yourself. That is this not true? That at present don't we enjoy sins? How many sins are in our lives which have reached that stage of enjoyment and pleasure? And how many a time we project outwardly a kind of piety and God fear, but within the heart it is not there. Then he says, Main bar bar keh chuka hoon, many a times I have said, aur phir kehta hoon, کہ آج کل مسلمانوں میں جو نظام موجود ہے, ایک دوسرے پر نظر ہے, دوسروں سے توقعات قائم ہے, اور جب وہ پوری نہیں ہوتی تو اس کی مخالفت کی جاتی ہے, جس کا انجام پھر نزاع ہوتا ہے. جب غیر اللہ پر نظر رکھی جائے گی تو اس کا یہی انجام ہوگا. آج ہر گھر میں یہ مرض گھسا ہوا ہے, باپ کی نظر بیٹے کی کمائی پر, بھائی کی نظر بھائی کی آمدنی پر, اس کی وجہ سے آپس میں جھگڑے اور گھر گھر فساد. Now this is the malfooz. If we have to look at the general condition of our homes today or of our lives today, he says, I have repeatedly said this and I'm saying it again, that the major cause of all the jhagdas in our homes, the major cause of the jhagdas and the fights and the quarrels and disputes and arguments with our friends, with our family members and with others, is because of the high expectations that we have of the people. That the father has got high expectation of his son, that my son, I put him through the college and through the university and he has qualified now and he is in a he's got a good profession, he's got good earning, so therefore it is now his duty to take care of me. He must now spend on me. I must retire and he must take care of me. Now indeed that is the duty of the son. He should be thinking like that. That my parents, they did so much for me, they put me through the college, university, they spent hundreds of thousands of rand from the time I was born up till I qualified. or thousands of rands. So now it is my duty that in their old age, when they are in need, I must take care of them and ask them now to relax, take it easy, and don't overexert themselves. That is the duty of the son. But if the father is going to have that kind of expectation from the son, and the son is not going to respond in accordance with his expectation, then there will be jagada there. Now there will be fight between father and son. The same with the mother, that she has got high expectations. My daughter will do this, my daughter will do that. Now when the daughter grew up and she is not doing what she was expecting, the mother was expecting, so there is going to be fight between the mother and daughter. In the same way, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. That the mother-in-law has got high expectations, that when I am going to have a daughter-in-law, then I will relax. And the daughter-in-law will take over the kitchen, and she will take over the sweeping and the cleaning and the ironing and everything else. And the daughter-in-law had high expectations that when I'm going to get married, I will be treated like a princess there. I will be a queen of that house. And I will be told to relax. And my mother-in-law will take care of even my cooking, baking, and my needs and requirements. And my cleaning of my room and washing of my clothes. Now both have got high expectations of each other. Now what will happen? There will definitely be jagada there. Because the expectations are not going to be fulfilled. What we had high expectations is not getting fulfilled. So there will be tufan there. In the same way, so many times it happens that if you have to look at friends, a friend has got very high expectation of it from his friend. Now he has got in his mind that this friend of mine, he's in big business. I am just battling around, I've got a little bit of income here and there. But any time I need a loan, then I know this friend of mine, he's always saying he's my friend, and we're traveling together and we're going to the football ground and cricket ground together. So therefore, whenever I'm in need, then he's definitely going to help me. So now this person, when he's suddenly in need, now he tells his friend that I want 10,000 or 5,000 loan. Now this friend also, he was a friend, but not for loans and not for... Because you have Jani Dost, Mali Dost, and Nani Dost. Naan se mushtak hai wo. Naan Dost. So this is, the thing is that the person was his friend, but he was not a friend to go and, it was like that dog, which you heard many times, that the person was sitting near the dog, it was his, which was about to die, so he was crying, shedding tears there. He said, why are you crying? He said, because this dog is about to die, and I got such compassion and feeling in my heart and sympathy, that now what am I going to do? I mean, this dog is about to die. So he said, why is it dying? It's dying because of starvation, no food. So what have you got in your basket? He said, I've got bread, meat. So then why don't you give it to the dog? He said, no, I paid for the meat and bread. The tears are free, so what does it cost? Let the tears roll. So now that kind of a friend, now this person is going to him and telling him that I want 5,000, 10,000 loan. Now this friend says, no, I don't have the money. Now he doesn't have the money, so what's going to happen now? There will be friction, disunity. That I trusted him, I expected him to help me. In my condition, he should have helped me. So whenever his person is going to move his glance away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and bring it on to the makhluk of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this moving of his gaze from Allah ta'ala to ghairullah, then that will definitely create problems in that person's life. All these frictions and fights and arguments is over this wealth, money, and the high expectations of the person which are not being fulfilled. So he says, this is what I've been repeatedly telling, that don't have these kind of hopes on anybody. Place your trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you are able to get it after that, by making use of the right means, asking the person for a loan, and if he gives it, alhamdulillah, if he doesn't give it, then you think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sifat of mane, the tajalli of mane is on that person, that he didn't come into his heart to give you, finish. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who didn't put it into his heart. So finish, why must you argue with him? If the gaze of a person is on Allah ta'ala, that it is he who puts into the heart of a person whether to help or not. It's all coming from there. Outwardly we see a lot of things. As the Shaykh Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, one time he required some loans. So he said that the person that he thought will say, any amount of money, take it as a loan that you want. He didn't get a cent from that person. And the person he least expected, the person said, take any amount. Wow. So he says that was a lesson for him in his young days. So this is the thing that we are being taught, that if we have our trust and faith in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala did not will, it was not Allah Ta'ala's will and wish to put into that person's heart to give us that loan or to give us that help, then there's no argument, because the person can't go and argue with Allah Ta'ala. So he must just think that this person is majboor, is mazoor, is helpless. So if each one of us, we fulfill our duty, whatever is our obligation, responsibility, duty, we don't only do fulfill that, but we go the extra mile and we go and try and do ihsan. So then we will be rewarded for that. But as far as we are concerned, we must not have that expectation that my son is going to grow up, then he will going to take care of me. Or my friend, he is the one, now it's his responsibility that whatever I need and require, then he must fulfill that. Anyone who is going to place his trust in human beings, then he is going to head for disaster. Somewhere along the line there's going to be friction, disunity. So he says, this is what I've been saying all the time. And then he goes on and he mentions a very beautiful thing. He says that many a times people will say that I don't need him, I'm not in need of his wealth, what does he think of himself? How many a time the person says, he can go to hell, I don't care for him. But then in his heart it's there, that he's saying that outwardly. He said that is that nifaq and hypocrisy. That with his tongue, what is he saying? That I don't care. I don't care if my son doesn't take care of me. I don't care if this my friend does not give me a loan. I don't care. The wife says, I don't care about my husband, whether he gives me any maintenance or not. And the husband says, I don't care if my wife serves me or not. Whenever there's a dispute or argument, both parties, this one will say, I don't care, that one will say, I don't care. But in the meantime, in their hearts, they all are caring. And they all are concerned that if only this person has to take away that help that he is giving, then what will happen to me? That means the nazar is on ghairullah all the time. So then why say, then what do I care? When it's not in the heart, then why say it with the tongue? So this is what is nifaq and hypocrisy. That outwardly the person is saying something else, but inside the heart there is nothing but nifaq. Now these are diseases of the heart. And we all become victims of this disease. At some stage in our lives, we become victims of this disease. And it can only go when we bring our tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala again, and when we sit in majlises of this nature where these type of diseases are discussed and where great amount of emphasis is placed on it, that you cannot get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love and muhabbat in your heart. We cannot get that noor of taqwa, that noor of marifat, and that noor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli, if we are going to have a heart that is filled with this type of nifaq and hypocrisy. Then again, there is another category that is very common, and that is between a peer and a murid. That there are many bogus peers, and their intention of making murids is also nothing, but those murids must do this and do that for them. The murid must be at his service all the time. Whenever he needs money, the murid must bring the money. If he needs a car, the murid must have the car ready. If it's a home, the murid must give his home away too. Now, there are so many such kind of peers and murids where, again, the relationship is nothing. It is for nothing but material gain. So again, there's going to be friction. These type of peers and murids will also keep fighting. And what kind of benefit will that murid get when the shaykh in his heart has got his gaze on the dunya of that murid? The murid is coming to him for the sake of deen, and he is making him murid for the sake of dunya. So what will come into the heart of that murid? The murid will only get Allah in his heart when the shaykh has made him a murid so that he gets Allah in his heart, and for no other reason, for no other purpose. Again, there it's a different issue, that the murid makes the khidmat of the shaykh for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. As my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says that a person asked him a question, that when you look at the face of your parents with muhabbat, with love, then Allah Ta'ala gives you the sawab of a hajj. So he said, agar koi apne shaykh ka chehra dekhe muhabbat se, to usko kya milega? He said, wahan par ek hajj ka sawab milega, aur yahan khud Allah milega. Because this person has got muhabbat for the shaykh for no other reason but to get Allah Ta'ala in his heart. That means, what other reason has he made the person the shaykh? He wants Allah Ta'ala in his heart. So now if that shaykh has also got the same motive, same objective, that he wants to see the murid get Allah Ta'ala in his heart, and nothing else. In fact, he gives to the murids if he can help it. In his heart it is that what, not only the spiritual food, but even the material things, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives them the tawfiq, they distribute quietly to the murids, or give them according to their capacity. So this is the thing that will build up the taluk with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the heart of the murid. Otherwise it will end up like the one incident is well known about the honey one, but the other one is where the person went to the house of a Peer Sahib, or the Peer Sahib went to the murid's house, and he just wouldn't go from there. One day, 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, the Peer Sahib is not going, and all the chicken are getting finished. So the murid said, he said, Peer Sahib, he started crying, and he says, Hazrat, I don't think you'll ever come back to my house again. He says, no, I must come back. Your house, how? I must come back. He says, no, ab aap aayenge hi nahi, kabhi nahi aayenge. Isliye main ro raha hun, that's why I'm crying, because you'll never come back again. He says, no, you will come. I will come back. He says, lekin pehle aap jayenge, tabhi to aayenge. First, if you go from here, then only will you come. But you're not talking about going from here, then how will you come back? So with such kind of piri muridi, what else do you expect that person to get? When he's not going from there, how is he going to come back? So there are some of them who've got registers, subscription, monthly subscription for becoming bayat. That is the reason that there is no noor in anything today. There is just a kind of a darkness that we find in everything. Outwardly there's so much of talk of deen, but you do not find that noor. What is the reason? There is something that's missing, which I keep on saying, and that is that ingredient of ikhlas. Until the majority of us do not bring that ingredient of ikhlas in our hearts, we will not be able to get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Of course, we do not give up. Whatever we are doing, we will continue doing. We don't say that we must give it up. We must continue doing the namaz, the roza, the zakat, the hajj, the umrahs, the zikr, the tilawat, everything, whatever we are doing, that we must continue doing. We must not throw away the blanket, but get rid of the bugs from that blanket. Don't throw the baby away. Change the napkin. So these things which are in our lives, that we do not have that ikhlas, and we've got hypocrisy and nifaq, it is keeping us on square one all the time. We just can't seem to be making any progress. But alhamdulillah, those who make some effort and they get ikhlas, then they make progress so rapid that we just keep looking at how high they are going. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said about Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, Kana mamluki fa adha maliki fa haza min aajib al-zaman. Because he said he was the one that was guiding Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi in his youth, in his student days and all that. But when he started making progress, and he says when he started rising, he says at one time he was my slave and I was the master. But the whole table turned, and it seemed that now he has become the master and I'm the slave. So many a times it happens that the shaykh remains somewhere and the murid goes away very high. One person used to say that I can topple Lahore. He said, "Main Lahore ko ulat sakta hun." So when some sahib-e-kash buzrug looked at him, he saw there's nothing. He's got nothing in him. He's talking about toppling Lahore. But then he looked at the heart of the shaykh of his, and he says, "Haan, waqai ye jo keh raha hai apne shaykh ki barkat par aur unke marifat aur unke irfan par keh raha hai." So this is what happens when there's ikhlas, when both have got ikhlas. And this is something that can only be found in the hearts of the Ahlullah. Something that we consider as completely insignificant these days. Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi now, Who does not know how he was welcomed even in Arab lands? Great, great Arab scholars, they also recognized his scholarship. They recognized his great the works and his attributes and his caliber. He went to the courts of kings. They gave him different prizes. Even the Faisal Award was given to him. What did he do with that? He gave it to the Darul Musannifin here, there and all that and finish. When King Faisal told him that all the ulama that come from India, Pakistan and besides ulama, so many others also, if I have an audience with them for some, at some meeting or conference or whatever it is, at the end of it they will present some petition or some request that we've got a madrasa running, we've got this, we've got that, we've got that, we need some donation. So what is it? Is there anything that we can do for you? He says, no, I haven't come to take anything from you. I have come to give you something. And that was the reason that their words had such impact and effect on the hearts of even the rulers of the countries. Now these days, where is that ikhlas? The person is going for what? He's going to convey the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But at the same time, he's just looking at the here and there, and when he meets somebody, he wants to know how's the business. Is there anything deals that we can do? He went for what? For deen work. And he's more interested in all the deals. So that ikhlas is missing. And because of that, we don't say it's haram, but because of that, we can't seem to get from square one any further. We go up and come down. We go up and come down. So where will we find this ikhlas? Ikhlas will be found in the hearts of the Ahlullah. The hearts of the Ahlullah are reservoirs of ikhlas. And in their company, then we start learning about ikhlas. Ikhlas also has to be learned. It is not something that just falls from the heaven. It is in majlises, it is in their sohbat, in their company, that we learn ikhlas. That how they kept checking their hearts. Even if they had a little doubt that there was ikhlas missing in this particular amal, they made sure that they repeated that amal. One buzrug, he never missed the first saf. For years and years, he never missed the first saf. He was in the first saf all the time for every namaz with takbir-e-tahrima. On one occasion, for about 30 years, he did that. One day he missed the first saf, and he went into the second or third saf. Shaitan started whispering, and he says he felt a little ashamed that people were looking around. Oh, this Hazrat so and so today, he missed the first saf and he's in the third saf. So he said this thought came into his mind, right? His namazes were all valid, but what I want to show you is what is ikhlas. He repeated the namazes of the 30 years. He says it shows that I was standing in the first saf for the sake of people and not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas he was standing for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But why did this thought come? Why did he feel ashamed now to be in the third saf? He was delayed for some reason or the other, he couldn't make it. So the thought shouldn't come that what will people think. Now just that thought came and he started making qaza of the whole 30 years namaz. That is what we are talking about, ikhlas. So concerned they were that they checked their intention before the amal, in between and again at the end, and then they made istighfar and tawbah. And we have been taught this by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, that what do we do at the end of the namaz? We made our Surah Fatiha, we read our surahs, we made our ruku, we made our sajda, we read tashahud, we read durood and salam upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So did we play tabla and dolak or sarangi? Did we commit any sin? Now the person made ibadat from right from his niyat right up till this last part, and now we are told maghrib, what? Allahumma inni zulamtu nafsi zulman kaseera. So what zulm did we make? So this is what we are being taught, that the zulm that we made is sometimes there might have been ikhlas lacking in our namaz. We cannot do justice. Our namaz is, how, what kind of namazes do we make? So therefore now make tawbah and istighfar. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So these people, they used to check all the time. In the charities they used to check if there's ikhlas. In the namazes they used to check if there's ikhlas. How many a times a person goes to India and there, when there's a madrasa jalsa, I have noticed it myself, when we were students, and even after that, that if there's a madrasa jalsa and there's a visitor from South Africa, now there he will stand up because he is being honored by the in the jalsa that so and so is very generous, very and he has spent so many thousands of rupees for, and he has donated so much for this wing of the madrasa and for that wing of the madrasa and all that. And then he will announce there that there are so many other 100,000 rupees for the other project of yours. And then his own sister will be very poor in that village, so he will give 100 rupees, 200 rupees. But thousands of rupees for that project. Why? Because there will be an announcement. Mr. So-and-so came from South Africa, and this whole wing of this madrasa is in his name. And they will even have a plaque there. So where is the ikhlas then in that kind of a donation? Now those students who will read in those classes, what kind of noor will they get when the foundation of that madrasa and the foundation of those classrooms is not on ikhlas? Or when the person is going around collecting, now he's a Maulana Sahab or he's somebody that is recognized as a prominent person, he is a the industrialist or is a owner of big properties, now he is going around for collection. So the person who was supposed to give 100 rand, now he gives 10,000 rands. Why? Because he has written there 10,000, so now I have to match it, or I have to give little more. So in those type of buildings after that, when we read our namaz, we read our, when the students learn the deen, if we don't get that barakat and that noor, then who do we blame for that? The main reason for all this problems is that we do not have that ikhlas. There's nifaq and hypocrisy. So does not it require some ilaj, some cure? We have to make an effort towards it. And where do we start? We start with our little amals that we are doing. That every time that we are making some amal, then just check our intention. Why am I doing this? If the answer is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, or it is not for showing anybody, even if it's not for pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, if the person makes an amal and he's got no other niyat, he's not doing it for show also, and he's not doing it for pleasure of Allah Ta'ala also, then too the jurists have categorized that as ikhlas. Look at the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. They said that if any amal of yours, you have got no niyat of show, like now we came, it's time for namaz. Now we got no niyat of we want to show somebody we're making namaz. And also we haven't even got that niyat that I'm going to read my namaz solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You haven't got that too. Then too that namaz will be categorized as a namaz of ikhlas, that you are doing it for Allah Ta'ala. Because you had no niyat of show. So in all our actions, if we try to bring that we are doing it for Allah Ta'ala, then it will bring noor in the heart. So the major cause, as I said, what we were discussing was that in the homes and everywhere, what is the reason that there are so many arguments and there's depression and there's all kinds of problems and anxieties and worries is because we've got expectations. This person will do this for me, this person should be doing this, that person should be doing that for me. Now when we are going to wait for people to do this and do that for us and they don't do it, so then it's going to create depression, worries, and at the same time arguments. And if we do not give vent, we do not expose what is in our heart, then it will be hypocrisy and nifaq. That outwardly will be assalamu alaikum, how are you, and we'll be shaking hands and bowing our head before the person, but inside the heart there's nothing but boiling anger. And if only we could, then we will try and harm that person in whichever way we could. All these people that are running around for taweezes and all that, or they're running around doing jadu and seher and all that, for what it is? It is hasad and jealousy and for malice which is in the heart. In fact, one sangoma who takes out these type of evil effects, so one brother went to her. Of course you shouldn't even go to such people, but in any case he went to her. Now he's telling me, he says that this woman told him, he asked her, he says that so many people are being affected, how is... He says, no, it's easy, simple. You must just tell me how many toklosh you want. So he says, I want one toklosh for that brother there because he harmed me, or he's progressing too much in his business and his business is flourishing. So you must just ask order, like one toklosh for him, one toklosh for... If you got a problem with the mother-in-law, then you must order one toklosh for the mother-in-law. If you got problem with anybody, you must order one toklosh. Nice. Now, why do people go to these people? Because of that same hasad, jealousy, malice, and all the evil that is embedded in the heart. Now, for the islah of that, we have these type of majlises, that we must understand that the moment we're going to move our gaze from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and take it on to ghairullah, then we will end up with all these type of problems. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah ikhlas in our amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma iftah lana bil khair wa akhtim lana bil khair wa ja'al awaqiba umurina bil khair bi yadika al khair innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab al nar. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.